This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live at Flowery Branch, guys, as we do each and every week. We're going to get a chance to talk to our head coach, Raheem Morris, coming up here in less than 5 or 6 minutes. Literally, it's raining like cats and dogs up here. They are inside practicing, and I think practice just ended, but he's going to make his way over here.
Yeah, Carl, Mike, it's tough to watch practice. Forgot to pack my rubbers.
I'm sorry?
Your boots.
Oh, okay.
What do you think I meant?
I didn't know, D-Led.
It's coming down out there.
Yes, it is. I mean,
cats and dogs.
Well, last week we were here, you plugged your hair dryer into our socket.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was trying to dry my undercarriage. It was pretty salty up here.
So, I don't know.
Sorry, too much information.
When you say certain things, I just have to double check. That's all. But we're going to talk to Coach Rob. Mike, real quick, our listeners don't know this story, but these are the kind of things that I think we're going to see with NIL play out. And we came in today and we were both like, what the hey? Now, it's a program many of you don't care about, and that's fine. But we just have to tell you the story because the school just put out an update.
Yeah, basically UNLV says we will not be blackmailed by our starting quarterback. Whoever promised him $100,000, he's not getting it. So this gets back to how do you have your collective, or all your ducks in a row, or is this some rogue? And you think rogue boosters, UNLV comes to mind, because Lord knows Tarkanian had a bunch of bagmen when they were rolling. But it is wild how this guy who transfers from Holy Cross, Matt Sluka is the kid's name, and he's obviously off to a pretty good start there.
Somebody owes him money, Mike.
He says he's owed $100,000, and they came to him and said, "Nah, how's about $18,000 sound?" Because that sounds about $72,000 light. And there's other conflicting reports about what they came to him with a counteroffer. But yeah, they said, "How about he's offered $100,000?" They said, "How about $3,000 per month?" You know, again, that's $16,000. So I got it. I'm off by 80. That's $84,000 less than what I was told. So yeah, he is. He's basically sitting out. He's going to redshirt now the rest of the year. He says the school and the collective came back with a contract of $3,000 per month. So whether there was this huge misunderstanding about the $100,000, as I said, somebody was not affiliated with UNLV's athletic department and their collective, their version of a collective. But this guy said, screw it. And the father gets involved. There's a couple of reports from ESPN. Quote, they keep deferring. We don't know. You have to wait. The father, Bob Sluka, says, it's like, we're going to give him game checks. We're like, okay, great. We didn't ask for a single dollar more. We agreed to $100,000, and they didn't live up to their end of the bargain. So now everyone around the country's going, well, this kid's a quitter, and he's everything that's wrong with college football. You've turned this thing into semi-pros. NCAA blew it, Carl. And if the kid was promised $100,000, I don't pay for less than $100,000. Screw you. I'm with the kid on this one.
I am too. And he quit. Like, literally, I'm out. And they're like, yeah, but hold on. I mean, Matthew, we got a game this weekend.
Yep, nope.
I don't care.
You go. Good luck with Fresno State. See you.
And if you're saying, well, yeah, but that's not going to happen anywhere else, watch. You're going to see this happen, Mike, because kids are being promised. And this is the thing. Right. Kirby's talked about this. If you can't promise a young man something that you can't deliver on, you get this. And this is the thing Kirby talked about. He's like, look, we're not doing this at Georgia. If I can't tell you or give you what we're telling you we're going to give you, I'm not going to overpromise and then underdeliver. But you're going to see more of this, Mike. We talked about the Florida situation.
Well, Jaden Rashada.
Yes.
And this is where it sounds like there are some similarities and some parallels to the Jaden Rashada thing, because you start to hear some conflicting information. He's got an agent, Marcus Cromartie of Equity Sports. He said he introduced himself via email to the UNLV Collective in late August. And he said, hey, where's the money?
Yeah.
And then Rob Sine, who is the CEO of Blueprint Sports, that operates the Run and Reps Collective, he sells Yahoo Sports. They never agreed to a $100,000 deal with Matt Sluka.
Wow.
So who's lying?
Come on.
I can't imagine.
And by the way, they're ranked for the first time in school history. They're 24th in the country.
And just another postscript to this, they were initially not going to go to the Pac-12, and then University of Nevada decides to go, and then all of a sudden UNLV's like, no, we want back in on this negotiation. But now they're weakened because they're not exactly a hot property if they don't get where they're going this year with Matt Sluka under center. So
some
other things at play. But I will say this, I can't imagine – a kid quitting on his teammates unless there was some serious ironclad, at least his camp thought, guarantees about his pay. And look, guys, yes, it's literally dogs and cats living together. It's the end of the world as we know it. The NCAA could have earmarked X amount of dollars from TV contracts, whoever, to give kids a piece of the action. And then maybe somebody would have sued eventually, but this would have bought us all some time. To come up with a better version than this ridiculous Wild West we're living in.
By the way, for everybody who's like, no, he should stay. Would you stay if you were promised a certain amount?
Hey, and by the way, I don't know this kid's – you know, it's funny. A white kid from Boston, I don't know what his background is. I don't know if he's – I don't know. $100,000's $100,000, whether you're Jameis Winston or Matt Sluka. If you're promised some loot when you're a kid, the only reason I bring that up because Jameis grew up in freaking poverty out in Alabama.
Yeah.
You don't know what his situation could be for the family. So what the hell?
Yeah, I don't even know if that matters. I think when you start doing these NIL deals and I sit down with you and you say – hey, Mr. Dukes, this is what we can offer you. And you go, man, I'd love to play here. That sounds like that's perfect. $100,000. That's it. It doesn't matter where I came from or what my economic situation is. This is a different world, guys. I mean, honestly, like, again, we're not leaving, you know, brown bags under the door anymore. I don't have to do that. So whatever was agreed to, and we'll find out sooner or later if that was the situation. But I think, Mike, a lot of these NILs have overpromised. They're getting these kids. I'm telling you, they're getting these kids to say yes. They're coming. They're signing. And then they're under-delivering.
Well, let's hope if you're a Florida State fan, Miami misses a payment on Cam Ward and you can transfer over. Sluka's reps, again, made the demands. This is from the statement that we got from the UNLV folks. UNLV does not engage in such activity, nor does it respond to implied threats.
Oh, they're bigger than everybody
UNLV
else.
UNLV has honored all previously agreed upon scholarships from Matthew Sluka. They've conducted its due diligence and will continue to operate its programs with the framework of NCAA, blah, blah, blah.
We won't be bullied.
Yeah, the irony in this is, of course, you know, if you take it all the way back to Jerry Tarkanian's running Rebs.
They cheated like a...
That's why I said
a blankety blank.
You'll talk to Jerry Tarkanian paid cash in full.
Oh yes, he did.
You know, and they had the bag. And by the way, you know, this is a time honored tradition. Everybody wants to put John Wooden up for sainthood. They were bag men at UCLA. I mean, everybody tried to tiptoe around that story as if this guy's up for sainthood. Please, you know, John Wooden was able to sort of operate with impunity because all the dirt was going on with somebody else. Like this book's been written about. You can look it up. But it just
but Mike, you go from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to Bill Walton.
Correct.
Stop.
You don't miss a beat. Put some Sven Nader in the mix.
Stop.
Yeah, I mean, look, but the thing we're living in, and I know, I get it. People are pulling their hair out over this. Somebody told this kid he's getting $100,000.
Oh, no, somebody did.
And that's it. And because I can't imagine a kid would quit in the middle of the season
unless
there were some serious promises that are not that they reneged on.
Y'all go win this on your own. Can you imagine him walking out? Matthew, where you going, dog? We got practice.
And by the way,
I don't practice unless I get my money.
And by the way, transfer window's out. You can't transfer, so he's going to redshirt. I mean, is there any way Florida State could trade DJ Uiagalelei for Sluka?
Well, this kid's better.
I know we could pass the hat and get $500,000 for this kid.
He's better right now. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We are waiting Coach Raheem Morris. It's just one of those college stories.
Right.
We would not have talked about this 5 years ago.
This is something
it
that
didn't
would
exist.
Be an impossibility.
Yes.
Right?
If a kid quit, it was because of other reasons or circumstances. It was never about kid didn't get his money and so he quit on us. What?
I mean, I get it for some of those guys out there that are going screaming at their radios. Oh, you guys, it's the new world we live in. We said it. The kids are just playing by the rules which are out there, and the rules aren't many to go by, you know. But one thing for certain, the Jaden Rashada situation still is yet to get figured out. I wonder how that one goes. I'd love to see get somebody on the record with what Miami promised, what Florida promised. Napier's career kind of hangs in the wind right now up down there in Florida. But this is one that Carl. It could have been avoided. All you had to do is just give all the players, put a kitty in, 1% of the TV revenue across every platform, you get that. And then everybody's got walk-around money, and then we're done. But no, we had to create this monster.
This is the
ridiculous afterbirth of this terrible decision.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, everybody's like, oh, this ain't going to happen anywhere else. It will. Only a matter of time. 404-726-0929. Text us, guys. This hour is live up here at Flowery Branch as we await Coach Ra. Coming up also our player segment. Mike Hughes is set to join us as they are finishing up practice.
For guys out there that are hitting us up on the text line going, this is bull, this kid's a quitter, your son is promised $100,000.
Oh, you're tripping.
Your son is now, they take the rug out from under him. He's not getting his,
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life. But that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Leverage you have is to threaten not to play.
Well, his leverage is high, Mike, because they're 3-0 and they're ranked.
Right.
And they think they might have something going on this season. His leverage is a lot more than if they were 0-4.
Right. Now, again, I don't know what you know, there's always kind of remember the who was the old it was Brian Gregory, not Brian Gregory, no, the your friend from Houston that got fired, the Georgia Tech basketball men's basketball coach.
You're talking about
him. Soon we forget.
You're like Brian Gregory. I'm like, what did Brian Gregory do?
Not Brian. No,
he didn't
do anything
after Brian Gregory.
Yeah, he needed some help in that.
You're talking about Josh Pastner.
Josh Pastner. Josh had that crazy dude, that hanger on. Remember that wackadoodle?
Yes.
That was trying. These are the kind of people that promise $100,000.
Yes.
That's the point I was trying to get to.
Sorry, I got you.
Sorry I went from like A to Z to get there. But, yeah, I mean, believe me, Brian Gregory could have used a couple of back managers. Tech and still have a job.
Yeah, that guy, yeah, I do remember that because that was a nasty situation.
But these are the kind of creepy, weird – some are just want – look, either they want to be a leech or a hanger-on with the program. They want to be important in the program. But you just – you've got to have some degree of control. It sounds like this is all on UNLV, friend, having no oversight with their collective.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Ra's going to join us. We'll get to an NFL blitz this hour as well and start talking about some of the other games around the league. Dallas plays Thursday night. Chris asked me before the show. He's like, what do you think they do? Well, they're not playing well. They can't stop a nosebleed right now. I mean, honestly, but are the Giants that much better?
Well, I'll tell you what, they get a lot of sacks. A lot of sacks.
That's going to be the Thursday night matchup. Yeah. We'll break it all down, man, in our NFL blitz. Stay right there. Coach Ross on the way. It's Dukes and Bill live. All around the National Football League, we'll get to an NFL blitz coming up. We are live at Flowery Branch, and Coach is on his way over here, so we're going to talk to him in just a second. And as we get ready for these Saints, Mike, by the way, reports, I'm just looking at this, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Lane Johnson, all night at practice today for the Eagles. This is that time, man, where you start to just, you know, it's 3 weeks in, we're going to fourth week. Injuries happened. Sean Payton announcing today that their inside linebacker, Alex Singleton, tore his ACL. Done for the season. There are injuries that are happening. Detroit's Marcus Davenport also is out, Mike. And they're saying he may be done for the season as well. Remember, he went to Detroit, speaking of the Saints.
And we're not going to play the laugh.
No, no. Injured. Well, he's a bum. He's a bust.
They can't do that.
He's a bust.
But the Vikings, we were just talking about this during the commercial break. You know, he's, by the way, I was just reading up on this today because there was a story in Pro Football Talk while we're waiting on Coach Raw, I'll make it brief, that the Brian Flores litigation with the NFL continues and that Roger Goodell tried to pull an end around on this, saying that he could ask an arbitrator to rule on this.
Okay.
And they're like, no, he's suing you and specific teams, so we'll just continue to take this to court. But Brian Flores, who, you know, continues to fight the NFL, feeling that he was treated unfairly, felt that race had something to do with it. He's one of the best defensive coordinators, super aggressive. Vikings lead the NFL with 16 sacks. Giants, you mentioned playing the Cowboys, getting after Dak. They've got 14. Jets without Hassan Reddick got 14. You take it all the way down. The Saints, who we're going to see on Sunday, have 11. We're going to ask Coach Ra when he jumps here in the Ticketmaster Studios. We only got 3 sacks, Coach. We got to get some more sacks, baby.
We do.
Hey, here he is. Here is Coach Ra. What's up, boss?
Had a couple guys. Hard to sack, man. You're exactly right.
We did.
You know, the first couple of games, got some tough sacks. We got a couple hits in this game. Got 8 of them. They had 13. I think they had 2 sacks or 1 sack. I'm not sure. But we definitely got to get home so we can get some, create some of these longer third downs or get off the field.
Let's talk about our third down situation, Coach. We know we're not great at it. I don't know if you've watched all these plays over the last 3 weeks and say specifically on third down. What do you see? What is it, execution? What is it that's holding us back from getting more third down conversions?
There's no one specific thing, right? Because you got to put it all in different buckets, right? There's something happening in third down that are happening in the red zone, and that's red zone execution. Some of them happen in these long yardage situations, which you don't want to be in. You know, the 12-plus, the 11-plus. Those are not likely ones that you can attain. You can get them every once in a while, but you don't want to live in that world. So that becomes down to efficiency on first down. And then the ones that you want to get, like the ones at the end of the game, the short yardage, whether you're talking about 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1, those are the ones you got to have. And those are the moments you got to stand up and be your best version of yourself, and we haven't been right now.
Was it a byproduct of having to sub guys in, or that's not an excuse at the end, trying to get that?
No excuses. They won't ever make that one. That doesn't apply to anybody here.
What about the call, Coach? And before we get to that, it's Coach Raheem Morris, guys. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He's joining us as he does every week. We're getting ready for the Saints, and we'll certainly focus on those guys here in just a minute. I'm screaming, Ron, take the points! Can you take us through the process of, is it analytics? Is it feel for you? Like, because in that moment, did we know we were going to get the ball back at the end of the game? No, but damn, defense was playing well, and you felt good about it. But we don't, and you decide to go for it. The week before, we went for it, and I'm going, Rod, go for it. The ball. So talk us through this.
Pretty simple for me. You don't go in there and shadow box with the champ. You got to go knock him out. You can't expect a decision to win the game. We went there to win the football game. Came down to a half a yard. We got to get that done. You know, you don't make excuses about none of that stuff. You got the ball back twice with a chance to go up there and do what you got to do. Great job by the defense getting a 2-minute stop there, a 4-minute stop, however you want to look at it. Getting the ball back, giving us a position to get to it again, and we failed. And we got to be better.
I know that we've said on the radio yesterday, I'll say this, man, Coach is consistent. That 4-4 in Philadelphia, that kept that drive alive, kept moving. So I understand the logic behind it. I know you can't comment on the no call on the pass interference. We can. But there are moments that, and it's tough because they let the NFL had it up for review for 1 year that they took it off the board. And it just seems like if you can dance through the raindrops on this question, it just seems like it's a very big moment in the NFL these days, and you wish you had that ability to review it.
You know, it was an objective call, subject to what they do, and it is what it is. We take that however it comes, you know, and we don't complain about that. That's up to you guys to have fun with that type of stuff, not us. You got to deal with it. And obviously is a call that whatever everybody else wants in your fan base, but it is what it is.
We're talking with Coach here as we get ready for Saints Week. And you know what that means, Atlanta. We don't like them. They don't like us. It's going to be fun on Sunday. It's a division game. And, Coach, talk about this because you've been talking about this all offseason. You know, running this division, man, chasing down this division. And it's the quickest way to get to the playoffs. Talk to us about what you see in this Saints team so far.
You know, they have been very explosive throughout the first 3 games of the season. The first 2 games, I believe they scored more points than anybody. I think they're number 1 in points. So they've been very explosive. They got explosive players. We all knew about Kamara. We know about the 2 wideouts. They've been able to come and establish the run. That creates their explosive plays, doing some of the things they do on offense. And they've been playing really good defense, which they've always been, and which they've always been ever done. They're led by Dennis Allen and Joe Woods and those guys. But they're special teams. You can't say enough about those guys either, right? They've created a bunch of plays. They've done a bunch of things, block and punch, doing all kinds of things with Rizzi. The returner is special. They got a good football team, and we got a lot of respect for them, but we don't like them, and there's no secret about that, and they got to go out there and get a win.
We found out today we're 55 and 55. It's dead even in this rivalry, which we think is more juice than anything, even more Bears-Packers, man.
That is the analytics I did not know.
So whoever wins this one, you're one up on those Saints. We did see Philadelphia really get after Derek Carr, and they really were talking about being behind schedule. They were much of that game. Can we do the same kind of thing?
You know, I'd like to see that. You know, I'd like to see us get out there and get out there a little bit. Like I see us be a little bit more aggressive. You know, have the ability to shoot our gun and take our chances and do some of those different things. But it is what it is, man. We got to get out there and play the game, and our guys got to do it more importantly. It's not about us sitting here talking about it.
Ra, from an individual standpoint, one of the things our listeners keep asking us, and I think it's a balancing act for Zach Robinson, our OC, the carries for Algier and what we're doing with Bijan. How do you think that balance is going? Do you expect that to continue the way it is? Will there be certain games? Will there be more or less? Because fans are asking us about that through the first 3 weeks.
You know, the balance is always going to be different. You got to get more plays accumulated just in all around, right? Mm-hmm. I believe Kansas City had doubled our plays or tripled our plays by the third quarter. We got to get more plays. And how do you do that? You got to win on third down. You got to convert when you can convert. You got to be efficient on first and second down. and you got to get your chance to get more plays, right? The bounce that you had in Philly when it was, I forget exactly what it was, but I think it was 20 carries, the 9 or 10 or whatever the case may be, is somewhere in the frame of what you want to be. But you got to find a way to get more plays,
right,
and to be able to get out there and establish more runs and be able to get more touches.
It's Coach Ra, our weekly visit with Coach Raheem Morris, guys, inside the Ticketmaster studios here. We talked about, you know, there's a learning curve. I mean, when you were back in the day when you were a young buck coming up in the league, Zach Robinson's, though, you know, he's a younger guy, but he's still only in his third game as an offensive coordinator. Because of you don't have as many plays, we're not converting sometimes behind schedule on down and distance, do you feel there's a lot of things he's wanting to do he just doesn't have the ability to do just yet?
You know, you don't want to necessarily use that as an excuse either, right? You want to be able to go out there and accumulate with your guys some reps, and that's what we're doing right now. You got all the guys out there for the first-time quarterback, first-time play caller, a bunch of young guys, first-time in the organization for the group that we have now that we're establishing, and you better do those things. They've been playing hard. Right now, we got to start playing well, and that's what it's got to be about, right? So, like, things that get better for us, I got a lot of confidence in it. I get a chance to see it. You guys get a chance to see glimpses of it, whether it's the two-minute drive at the end of the game versus Philly, well, it's the opening drive versus Kansas City versus two of the better teams in the National Football League. We will get better, and I got a lot of confidence in my guys doing it.
Yeah, we've been preaching that, Ra. I mean, it's crazy. Yes, we're disappointed that we lost, but I feel good about where we're at as a team, and we've seen these flashes you're talking about. We said this all week. We got to put it together and, I think, execute a lot better. Coach, what do you think about what you've seen from Kyle Pitts? We know he was 100% going into camp. I don't know if the expectation for us is maybe more than it is for you guys, but how do you feel about him?
I think the same is to be said about everybody in our offense, right? We got such high expectations because of the people that we brought in, the people that were already here. And Kyle Pitts fits in that same mode, right? He showed us a small glimpse of it the night before with the big explosive on the play. I think it was a 50-yard pass. Took the guy, beat him on a one-on-one man coverage, got a great check to him, got it to him. Right. And he's able to make an explosive. We need more of that, right? You want more of that. Everybody wants more of that. But how do you get more? It goes back to being efficient on first down, converting on third down, giving people more opportunities for Tyler, Bijan, Pitts,
right,
Mooney, Drake London,
yeah,
all the guys that you can name. And the only way you do that is you go out there and get more snaps for your offense. But it's also a team game, right? So as well as you're playing on defense, some of the really good things, you got to get the ball back. You got to find a way to get off and win on your third downs. You got to get off as much as you can and as fast as you can, get those guys behind the chain so they have to play the game that we like to play.
Do you go right at a guy like Cam Jordan? I mean, we talked about this with T.J. Watt. At times we didn't, but do you go right after an elite rusher?
You know, it's always times you got to have that in the game plan where you're going to go at really good football players and try to absolutely do stuff. Right? But you know, to sit here and call out Cam Jordan.
We're not going to do that.
Would not be smart by anybody, right? Mm-hmm. I think this guy's got more sacks on the Atlanta Falcons than anybody in the history of football. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Matt Ryan's jerseys are still in his house.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is an unbelievable football player. He sat in my office as a rookie when I was in Tampa.
Right.
Got a chance to see him come out in the draft. Got a chance to see what he's done, what he's been, you know, and he hasn't changed much over the years. You know, gotten a little bit older, gotten a little bit wiser, and now he's got some bunch of young guys around that he's probably teaching and mentoring, showing them the right way, being a perfect onboarding person for that Saints organization, and just what a great human he has been throughout our game and throughout our community. Now, we got to go get his butt. But
yes, we do. Yes, right, we do.
It is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. All due respect. Yeah.
Right. And McGarry's okay? McGarry looks okay?
McGarry, we'll see. You know, like, it's obviously going to be, you know, a day-to-day thing with him. You know, he's not going to the IR. Really fired about that. Get a chance to get him back. We'll see how he feels. We're moving on from a day-to-day process. Obviously, we'll put the report out today and what he was. He was out, but you know, we'll see what he can do tomorrow, see what happens the next couple of days.
You feel good about the moves that have been made, and if you have to go to the guys that we've seen, whether it's Ryan or whomever it might be, because everybody's wondering about the depth of our O-line, you know, now after this game, how do you feel as a head coach?
You know, I'm really fired about the depth all around the board. Right? That's a part of not playing some of our rookies, right, because of the depth that we have. We got a bunch of guys here that's played a lot of football. Well, you're talking about Storm, you're talking about Noozle, you go to our D-line, man, you're talking about Grady Jarrett, you're talking about David, you're talking about, you know, 99, you're talking about all these guys that played all these snaps, Zach Harris, TQ, you know, a bunch of guys, and people are wondering why you can't get some of those rookies out there. That's actually a pretty good sign, right, that those guys can't get out there yet But you know what? They're going to be out there soon enough just based off the history of our game and how this thing works.
Coach Ross with us here, guys, live at Falcons. A lot of good teams are 1-2, and we think we're one of them. And we're not blowing smoke because we keep it real here, but it just seems like we're this close. When you're watching like the 22 film and seeing everything, it just seems like we're just a few moments or a few executions away from getting to where we need to be. It seems like it's a process, and Kirk's getting better. We talked about Zach, but are there certain things that you say, we get one of these two or three of these, we got it?
Hey, we've lost 2 one-possession games. And we got to find a way to win those games. Yeah, we found a way to win one in Philly. We got to find a way to win all of them. We got to find a way to win as much as we can. And, at the end of the day, nobody cares how you win. They just want to know that you won. And then we can get better in the process while we're winning. That would be the ideal situation for all of us. And that's what we want to go out there and be able to do.
By the way, Raheem's sponsor, this segment, should I say, is brought to you by the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. As we talk with Coach each and every week, Saints Sunday, guys. We get these guys, obviously, twice in the division. And, Coach, I wanted to ask you about Kirk Cousins. You know, we've been having this conversation. I know it's been ongoing for the last few weeks. Is there anything he can't do? Because for me, I want to say if he's on the field, he can play and there's nothing that he can't do. Is there anything he can't do?
I mean, I think he showed us everything he can do. Like, he never could run, so I've been really waiting for him to get the 15-yard scramble. They're going to be waiting for a while.
Wow. right.
But I don't think he was doing that before. You know, he may give us a couple yards here or there, but like to say he can't do something right now, I just can't say that. You know, right.
I know you got a jet real quick. Rook, row. Are we ever going to see him? Is he banged up, or is he just depth chart? There's more guys ahead of him.
No, he's not banged up.
Okay,
he's moving along fairly nicely.
That's that question.
So they're growing as in their
spots. Pretty excited about a bunch of people that we haven't even got a chance to get on the field yet.
Okay, that sounds good, Coach. What's it going to take to get a dub against these Saints?
We got to go out, man, and play really with speed on offense. We got to be efficient on offense. We got to convert on third down. We got to guard on defense, man, and we got to find a way to stop this explosive offense from getting explosive plays. They got 2 wideouts that can be explosive. They got a running back that can be explosive. All kinds of weapons all over the place. And we got to go out there and rush this passer and David Carr. On teams, we got to go out there and find a way to get coverage units down there. They got a bunch of good returners. We've seen how explosive they are. They've always played well on teams. They've actually won games on teams in this National Football League, which is hard to do, and I've seen them do it.
Raheem Morris, good luck Sunday. Amen. We will certainly be cheering you guys on, and we appreciate it. Coach, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Yes. He's running out of here.
He's out the door.
All right, that's Raheem
right
Morris,
on,
guys. We'll take a quick break. We're going to come back. Mike Hughes is going to join us, and we'll talk about what Coach had to say.
Got some interesting news from down in New Orleans about who was not seen at practice with the Saints today. We'll tell you about that, too.
All right, stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. Thanks to Coach Raheem Morris. For those who missed that interview, we'll replay it for you in the 5 o'clock hour as we love to chop it up with him as we get ready for the Saints. He said it. We don't like them. You respect them, but you don't like them.
It was funny. I told Coach how we're all dead even, 55 and 55 all time in the meetings. And he was like, really? That's some news I didn't know. So I don't know if that works its way into the pregame speech. I don't know about that. But, yeah, and the 110 games, and as you guys know who listen to our show and Saints fans know, no disrespect to the Bears and the Packers, this is the rivalry with flavor, right? With a little spice.
It is.
And there's just more juice. You know, 2 teams that came in the league. I think the fan base is – I mean, it can be good. Mostly it's – I've always experienced generally good-natured ball busting. I've rarely seen fights with Saints fans. We're just talking jive and having fun.
Yeah, that's the cool thing.
How do you feel about it? Tell me how you feel about it.
Yeah, and the cool thing is it doesn't stop in the offseason. Like, that's the other part of this, mm-hmm. right? So, but as we prepare for the Saints, we're going to get a chance to talk to Mike Hughes, our corner, coming up here live at Fire Branch. Mike, you said you had some news in regards to the Saints.
Yeah, man, from Mike Triplett covering the Saints, Alvin Kamara, the center, Eric McCoy, you talked about.
He's out.
Cesar Ruiz, the guard, and
He's
the
good.
Corner, Alante Taylor, who's got 3 sacks, by the way, for the Saints. They bring him on the heat from the edge. They were all out of practice today. The media didn't see them, and DeMario Davis was in a jersey but didn't participate. Taysom Hill was back, and he did participate today.
Yeah, that's another guy.
And that's that dude that always is a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I didn't talk to Coach. I, you know what? I meant to ask him a question about that because he's familiar with Taysom Hill. I mean, it's one of those things where you go,
right.
You know what? You know he's going to have some kind of role in this game.
He's just one of those dudes, man. And you're like, oh, don't tell me this guy's going to make plays. And the year that who went down with the injury. It might have been Breeze. But we had Taysom Hill actually swept us 1 year.
Oh, I know.
Under center.
No, because I think it was one of those years, Mike, where I was saying he can't beat us.
Right.
Anyways, my man is here, Mike Hughes. Coming in, and we get a chance to chop it up with him. First of all, man, how are you doing? How was practice today? What's going on, Mike?
I'm doing good, man.
Yeah, man, and we were saying, you know, when you came back here this year, and last year, I should say, a lot of folks are saying, you know, this is it's a hell of a story, man, and the success and the vibe you've had. How you like playing with Coach Jim? Everyone loves Rob, but talk about Coach Lake and the defense.
Oh, man, since all those guys came in, man, they just brought a whole different energy to the building, and I think we all did a good job of just buying in and, you know, trusting in what – you know, the things that they've learned through the coaching trees that they've been under. So, you know, I think it's been a great transition, and everybody's, you know, I think enjoying the process right now.
Mike Hughes has played a lot of snaps through the first 3 weeks, guys. A.J. Terrell, and then Mike Hughes as far as the DBs are concerned. Let's talk about your journey, man, before we get into the Saints and all this stuff, because, you know, you were a first-round pick. Yes, you were one of the best corners coming out of college. And then, you know, this NFL journey starts. Talk about the injuries and what, you know, set you back and to be in this place that you're in right now.
Yeah, man. You know, just to go through all those things, like you mentioned, the injuries, you know, not having to deal with something like that until I got into the league. So,
you know, you were never hurt, like high school, college?
Yeah, never had surgery or anything like that.
Yeah.
Never really missed a game. So, no, just going through that, you know, it kind of – toughened me in ways that I couldn't imagine. You know, that's whether it was mentally or especially physically, going through all the rehabbing and just trying to learn how to deal with not being around a game and just trying to focus on being healthy and you know, just little things like that kind of built me to be who I am today.
And, did you think, Mike, you were gonna get back though? I mean, was there ever like, because those moments are lonely, man.
Yeah, they are lonely, and it's so the thing is like I've never really been away from the game that long until I got hurt, so. It kind of opened my eyes a lot to a lot of things and just, you know, never taking the game for granted or anything, you know, in general, actually. Because I went to walk for a week or 6 weeks.
Oof.
And just, you know, not being able to do little things around the house, you kind of take for granted. And, you know, like I said, kind of opened my eyes to things like that and kind of, you know, helped me become mentally stronger and just to, you know, kind of push through things that I never thought I could push through. But I say all that to say, yeah, I do I did think I would come back, and, you know, just with all the hard work and the people that I was surrounded by and you know, my family who helped me get over some of those obstacles. So, yeah, I always thought I could come back.
And I'll tell you what, man, as Mike Hughes is with us live here in our Ticketmaster studios, the coaching staff was high on you from the moment you got in the building because we were saying, man, do we have as our roommate, do we need more guys at corner? They really believe in you. And everybody, because we ask the coaches all the time, and then we saw you obviously making the plays in preseason, and obviously you feel like you're back to being 100.
All right. Yeah, man, it's a good thing to hear that those guys have to trust in me, and I have to trust in my ability as well. And I know the work that I put in, so I'm always confident when I go out there and I'm able to do what I'm able to do, especially being at one position.
Right.
Kind of allows me to settle in and just, you know, be more locked in.
7 solo tackles against the Steelers, 5 against the Eagles, 6 last week against the Chiefs. Showing up on the defensive stats, man. 1 pass defense for Mike Hughes. As we talk about, you know, going up against these wide receiving cores every week, man. You know, in the NFL, it's like, who we got this week? You're looking at the chart. You're like, man, it doesn't get any easier. And then here come the Saints with Olave. And tell us what you know about these guys.
Well, I know they can stretch the field really well. you know, that offense is pretty explosive. Started out pretty explosive this year. I think they're leading the league in points or whatever. But we know what we're walking into. You know, I don't want to give you guys too much, but
for sure,
I think we got a good game plan going in that'll you know, help slow those guys down. But we definitely know what we're up against. You know, 22 Shaheed, he has a lot of speed to take the top off. We know that Chris Olave has some of the best hands in the league, great route runner. And you know, they just have a tandem of guys over there that can, you know, take over games. And I think, like I said, we got a good game plan going in that'll help slow those guys down. So we'll be able to show that Sunday.
It's Falcons Corner. Mike Hughes with us, guys, live on Dukes and Bell. This might be a silly question, so bear with me. I went down to New Orleans for that final game last year, and Jameis decides to freelance, and they go for it. Do you guys even talk about that stuff? I know that, you know, it's a different coaching staff now, different, but that just really ticked off a lot of Falcon fans.
Including me.
I don't want to stir too much up, but it's floating around.
Okay.
Yeah, it's floating around. So
fair enough.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Good to hear.
By the way, you know, our man here, he's like right like one town over where my mom was born.
Yeah.
And where Dominique is from. He's from New Bern, North Carolina.
Yeah, I know.
You know, Nick's from Washington.
New Bern. Oh, really?
Yeah,
he
man.
Said, what you know about New Bern?
I bought a car. I bought a car up there once, man.
What you know about New Bern?
It was like the mayor's car. I bought this old Cadillac. It was like the mayor's car. Went up there on eBay. But anyway, digress, but he's a Carolina guy, man.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Right, man.
Mike, let's talk about something, man, that we talked a lot about at the time.
And it's funny, but it's not, because you were part of it. You know where I'm going with this. He went to UCF, guys, and he was there the year that UCF claimed that they were national champions.
Right.
And everybody around the country was like, hold on, man, wait a minute. And you guys went undefeated. Now, the team was really good. You guys were really good that year. But talk about that, because you played under Scott Frost. Obviously, he leaves. He goes to Nebraska. You know, you guys, the upperclassmen, everybody's like, hey, I'm going to the league. But that whole scenario, and now where college football is, if you were playing now and you guys did that, you're in the college football playoff. You guys went undefeated,
right,
and you got disrespected.
And I think that was the whole thing about us not being able to get a chance to get in the playoffs. And with us beating the team who beat the national champions, that kind of, you know.
Auburn.
Auburn. They beat Bama that year.
They did.
Yeah, we kind of declared ourselves national champs for them not giving us a chance. I mean, what else were we supposed to do?
Did you get a ring?
I think, yeah, we did get a ring.
Hey, you know what?
I love it.
You got to love yourself.
You got to do
love
it.
Somebody else.
You got to do
it. No, I mean, because the program, you know, we knew when O'Leary went down there and got that program cooking again, that was a tight environment down there in Central Florida,
sure,
man. It still is.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, and I was only there for – because I came straight out of JUCO.
Right.
And I got there maybe –
you were Carolina first, right?
Yeah,
UNC,
yeah,
right?
UNC, then JUCO, and then I maybe got to UCF in, like, late August, and I was only there for, like, 5 or 6 months. So that was, like, the best 5 or 6 months of my life.
You know what I mean? Lose.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
Yeah.
People may not know, we're talking with Mike Hughes, our corner guys, Falcons Saints on Sunday. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, up here at Flowery Branch. People may or may not know, you're a hell of a return guy. Have you asked Ra, like, can I take one? Can I get a couple? Like, are you done with returning completely? What's the deal there, man?
I got some backup duty.
Okay.
You know, I guess like emergency, you know, type of situations. But, you know, it's kind of hard to do playing corner and, you know,
being
return
a return
duty in the league. So, you know, whenever my number's called, I'll be ready, though. But as of now, just backup emergency.
Because you average like 20-some-odd yards of return. I mean, one of the top punt returners in the league in college.
Did.
Yeah, I saw that, and I kind of forgot. Like, wow, I forgot he returned balls.
What was your 40 at the combine?
I only ran 4.5, but don't let that fool you.
All right. No, yeah, I agree with that. I'm with them on that.
It was a slow watch.
That's what it was, slow watch.
Just with us. We were talking to Coach Ra before you came in, and just Carl and I, you know, we got season tickets. We're fans, and just from a fan standpoint, it just seems like when you watch, we're just one play away, one assignment away from just getting it. Is that what you feel from watching the tape?
Oh, yeah, of course. And, you know, we played out the gate. We played some really good teams, but you know, I hate to say we're this close, and you know we should have did this and should have did that. We know we could be sitting here 3-0 right now, but you know, I think we're in a position where if we could put this all together, I think we could be a really dangerous team, and I think everybody around us feels the same way. So,
Mike, you are a testament man to perseverance and the fact that they didn't go out and sign some other dudes. We do this show every day, and we're like, they're going to go get a corner. They're going to go, and they didn't. And I think it speaks volumes to what they believe and what you bring, man. So congratulations on the success so far. I know it's a big season, long season.
Yes, sir, I appreciate it.
Keep grinding, and let's go get a dub against these Saints, man.
For sure. Let's do it.
Mike
Dirty
Hughes.
Saints.
Yeah. Oh, I hate
My
him.
Word, not his.
I hate him. All right, man. Mike Hughes hanging out with us. We got to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll talk about some of the things he told us. Also, we got to get to an NFL blitz. We're going to talk about Georgia and Bama, the big college football game on Saturday night.
Right.
Stay there, man. We're live at Flyer Branch.